Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Pesachim is Chaf Dalet. We're on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud, and we're engrossed in a very long sugya here in the second parak of Pesachim, and that is the machlokus between Chizkiyahu and Rabbi Abba. The machlokus began on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, so that means it covered so far the Amud Beis of Chaf Aleph, and then all of Chaf Beis, and then all of Chaf Gimel, and it's going to be covering a good part of Chaf Dalet as well. So what is the Gemara now so interested in, so involved in, and that is the issue of the Isur Achila. The Torah has numerous Isur Achila, those foods that we're not allowed to consume, and the question becomes whether or not we are allowed to get benefit from those items. So does the Isur Achila have within it, contained within it, an Isur Hana'ah? So we first started off with the opinion of Chizkiyah, and Chizkiyah, back in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, said no, that when the Torah introduces, when it rolls out an Isur Achila, it only has an Isur Achila, it does not have an Isur Hana'ah. Isuri Hana are only when the Torah is Mishane B'dibure, when the Torah introduces us to the Isser in a slightly different language. It uses, instead of the word Lo Yochal, it uses the words Ye'achel, which since the verb is conjugated not in the active but rather in the passive, so that tells me that I now am not only allowed to eat it, but I'm allowed to get benefit from it. Which Isurim does it end up covering? So after a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, that comes out to, according to Chizkiyah, it only comes out to two Isurim. It comes out to Chametz, and it comes out to Shor HaNiskal. Those two Isurim of the Torah, where the Torah uses the word Lo Ye'achel, so actually by Shor HaNiskal, it's not, whatever, Shor HaNiskal, we have an additional pasuk there as well. Really, Chametz is the prototype. Chametz, where the Torah says Lo Ye'achel, according to Chizkiyah, there's an Isur Achila and there's an Isur Hana as well. Rabbi Abba, on the other hand, says that no, incorporated and included with every Isur Achila is also Isur Hana as well. When the Torah says, Lo Yocha, Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu. However, the Torah introduces us to an Isur Achila, so that also includes as well an Isur Hana. It sounds like they're having an extraordinarily fundamental debate, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of differences between the two of them. So over the course of the last 2 days, what we've come to understand is that there aren't a lot of differences between the two of them. In fact, after 2 days of discussion in the Gemara, two dapim of this discussion, comes out that there's no difference between the two of them in terms of the various Isurim that we covered. We covered many Isuri Achila over the last couple of days. We started off with Nevela. We talked Yeranasha, Dam, Aver Menachai, Shor HaNiskal, Arla Truma Nazir Chadash, Shratzim. So it goes without saying that we spoke about a lot of Isuri Achila, and comes out now that there really is, at this point in time, no difference between the two of them. And why should there be no difference between the two of them? Because as we went through every one of the Isurim, so there are various mitigations. There are counter psukim, additional psukim, that get us to the conclusion that the vast majority of the Isuri Achila are only Asur Bachila, not Asur Bahana. And Chizkiyah and Rabbi Abba would just simply address each one of them from a different perspective in terms of how to understand the psukim. There are notable exceptions of the Shor HaNiskal and the Chametz BePesach, where they are Asur Bahana. Arla, by the way, another one that's Asur Bahana. But the vast majority of them are only Asur Bachila and not Asur Bahana. And just to reiterate, by the way, a point that we made yesterday, really fundamental point in terms of making business of the Isuri Achila. So the Gemara on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf, had a drasha in terms of whether or not it is okay to make business with it, meaning if I can get benefit from it, so presumably I could do business with non-kosher foods. The Gemara Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph Pesachim, that's the Makor, yesterday's daf, says that you're not allowed to do business with it, meaning if it happens to be that you end up with something that's Asur Bachila, to go ahead, turn around and sell it, so that's fine. But to make an established business out of it, so the Gemara in Chaf Gimel Pesachim says you're not allowed to do that. With all that stated, so now a really fundamental machlokus now has turned into not a machlokus at all, which is basically what we're up to in the Gemara now, because the Gemara is exhausted. Meaning the Gemara says is that we went through every one of these Isuri Achila, and at this point in time, there doesn't seem to be a difference between the two. And so now we pick it up. We're in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We are halfway down in the Amud. The first word in the line is Bebehema. And now Michti, we're starting in the Gemara where we picked it off, where we left off yesterday. Michti, the Gemara says, so now let's think about this. Otsvina Kolhani Krai. So we quoted all the Psukim Vishaninu. So, and we answered every one of the Psukim. Chizkiyah V'Rabbi Abba V'Mai Pligi. So now it's no longer debate. Meaning they are debating fundamentally, but practically comes out to be no difference between the two. So bechametz bePesach v'alibah deRabban and chametz bePesach according to the Chachamim and Shor HaNiskal alibah deDivrei HaKol and Shor HaNiskal according to everybody. Now the Gemara over here says chametz according to the Chachamim, because again going back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember that we did quote an opinion of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili was of the position that chametz is mutter behana'a. So an interesting position, a not accepted position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So that's why our Gemara over here just simply says the Chachamim. But in any event, according to the vast majority of the Tanayim, and by Shor and Iskol, according to everybody, so it comes out now that they're Aser Bana. So Chizkiah Nafik Lemi Lo Ye Achel. So according to Chizkiah, it's generated from the Psukim of Lo Ye Achel, which we have both by Shor and Iskol, and also we have by Chametz, and Rabbi Abba, Nafik Lemi Nevela. So now Rabbi Abba learns it out from Nevela. Meaning going back to the very beginning of the sugya, this takes us all the way back to Chaf Alf Amid Beis, according to Rabbi Abbo. So when the Torah says Lo Sochal, so the default of every Isra Achila is that there's an Isra Achila and there's an Isra Na, unless the Torah is Mefarid, unless the Torah says otherwise, like the Torah did by Nevela. So then it comes out now that for Rabbi Abbo as well, for Chametz and for Shor and Iskol, it's Asur Be'achila Uvehana. So Michti, Ben Lamar, Asur Bana, for both of them it's Asur Bana. So my Ben Aus of the Gemara says, so now what is the difference between these two positions? There doesn't seem to be, at the end of the day, any difference between them. So good, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara, I know I'm animating the Gemara. The Gemara is exhausted. The Gemara, of course, is not exhausted, but the Gemara wants to know now, for 2 days of work, what do we have to show for it? So the Gemara says, "Ikim anar chulin shenishchutu ba'azara." So the Gemara says, "Well, the difference is going to come out to be chulin shenishchutu ba'azara, as we already pointed out. Taking a carbon, shachting it outside the Beis Hamikdash, that's an iser in the Torah, explicit in the Torah, mentioned in Parshas Achri Amos. So that's something which there's no give and take over there. That's one of the 365 iser in the Torah. In fact, it's a serious iser in the Torah in that one will be subject to kares if you take a karban and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. What about the opposite? What about taking chul and shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Torah does not say it explicitly whether it's an iser of the Torah or it's not. And as we already discussed, and now that we're discussing again, the Tanaim are debating whether or not it's an iser da'araisa. Chulin shenishchutu ba'azara chizkiah savala savar lo yochal lemutehani. So sorry, lo ye achel lemutehani. So now here's how it works out. And there's the Gemara over here has a lot of cheshbon, has a lot of things you have to remember. But the Gemara goes through it all. That according to Chizkiah comes out that we start off with lo ye achel lemutehani to tell me that that chametz and Shor and Iskol is going to be aser ba'achila uvana. Good. So we already have psukim that cover the isurim of chametz and Shor and Iskol. And also lemute chul shenishchutu ba'azara. And that means now that by the psukim of treifa, where the Torah says lakelav tishlachun oso, you take the treifa and you give it to the dog. Now the word oso means that this you're allowed to feed to the dog, but there's something else that you're not allowed to feed to the dog, i.e., it's aser ba'achila uvahana. Now, what is similar to treifa? So chulin shenishchutu ba'azara. And you go back a couple of dapim, and we explain the relationship between the iser of treifa and the iser of chulin shenishchutu ba'azara. For our purposes right now, let's just simply, it suffice to say that they're related. So, we have a drasha that tells us that chulin shenishchutu ba'azara is aser ba'achila uvahana. So that comes out now according to Chizkiah. So Chizkiah, now the cheshbon of Chizkiah is that we have the drashas for Chametz and Shor and Iskol, i.e. Lo Yachel. We now have an open and available drasha of Lakel Tishlechun Oso. That now is coming to teach Michun Shor Nishchutu Bazar Zasar Barna. That's the cheshbon according to Chizkiah. And Rabbi Abba Savar Oso Lamute Hanichul and Shor Nishchutu Bazar Lav Daraisa Ninu. Now what's the cheshbon for Rabbi Abba? The cheshbon works as follows. For Rabbi Abba, how do I know the Chametz and how do I know that that Shor and Iskol is going to be Aser Bana. So for that, I need the drasha. And as we went through in the beginning of the sugya, either the drasha is generated from Nevela or the drasha is generated from Treifa. Now, if you subscribe to Shitas Rav Yehuda, now again, this goes back to the beginning of the discussion, and I know this gets a little bit complicated, but it's not so bad. If you learn Nevela, where the Torah's instructions are very clear, what do you do with your Nevela? You either give it to a ger or you sell it to a nachri, ger by the way, meaning ger toshav. You either give it to a ger toshav or you sell it to a nachri. And we had a machlokas tanaim over there between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Is the Torah giving us very specific instructions? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Or Rabbi Meir says, no, you can gift it to the ger, you can gift it to the nachri, you can sell it to the ger, you can sell it to the nachri. The Torah is not specific in terms of what to do. So if I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, that means to say that when it comes to Nevela and the Torah's instructions of what to do to Nevela, it is not a referendum on whether or not it is Mutar Bahana. In other words, nevela is, it has its own set of instructions, very clear instructions of what to do with the nevela, but it has nothing to do with the heter ana. So now that means that where's the source that tells me that according to Rabbi Abahu, the default setting of the Torah is going to be that something is also b'achila v'ana? So then the Gemara moved on to treifa. So we learn it out from treifa. So like kelev tishlechun oso is coming to teach me a halacha regarding the iser hana. Meaning treifa is mutar b'hana, like kelev tishlechun oso, but everything else is going to be aser b'hana. That all works out if I subscribe to Shita's Rav Yehuda. Now again, I know that's a lot to... That's a lot to juggle, but that was the Gemara in the beginning of the entire sugya. That means to say now that according to Rabbi Abahu, assuming like you subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out now that the pasuk of Lakelam Tishlechun Oso by Treifa is there to teach me about the Isser Hana'a, the Heter Hana'a by Treifa, and the Isser Hana'a for all the other Isserim in the Torah. Good. Now, what are you going to do with Chulin Shenishchutu Bazara? So what you're going to have to say, what you're forced to say, is that according to Rabbi Abahu, Chulin Shenishchutu Bazara is not an Issa Dar Raisa, and so therefore there's no Pasuk that needs to either include it or limit it, because it's just simply not an Issa Dar Raisa. That's the Cheshbon as it works out for Chizkiah and the positions of Rabbi Abahu. When all said and done, I understand the question strong, and then the answer is that the only difference after all said and done, after going through the last two blad of Gemara, the only difference between Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu is going to be their positions on Chulin Shenishchutu Bazar. Yasev Umir Rabban Kamei de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, as we continue in the Gemara. So now a discussion, a subsequent discussion that takes place between a group of Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, V'yasev Kamei Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, and they said the following in the name of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Menayin l'chol yisurin shebetorah dechi heichid asurin b'achila hachinami asurin b'ana. So umayniu chametz bepesach v'shor niskal. So the question is a simple question. It's what we've been discussing now for 2 days, and that is, how do I know the chametz bepesach and shor niskal are going to be asur b'achila uvahana? Again, we know it has an unusual language. In both of them, it says lo ye achel, but achila just simply means that one's not allowed to eat it. How do you know that's also asur b'ana? So the Gemara now goes through all the various approaches that we've been giving now for the last 2 days. So typically, me lo ye achel. So why don't we learn that from Lo Ye'achel, which according to Chizkiah and according to Rabbi Abahu would be a valid way to learn the Yisr Hana. So the Gemara says, Lo Yochel Yisr Achila Mashmalei Yisr Hana Lo Mashmalei. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, who this discussion was having in front of, so Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, look, I don't agree. He's an Amora. He has the right to disagree. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, I simply don't agree. I think the Torah's lo ye achel, even when the Torah's mishane b'dibure, even when the Torah adjusts the language, instead of saying lo yochel, it says lo ye achel. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, I don't care. It's just an Isra Achila. It's not an Isra Hana. So that can't be the source. So typically, min nevela. So the Gemara says, fine, why don't we learn it out from nevela? So savala k'Rabbi Yehuda damar dvarm k'chzavam. So the reason why he can't learn it out from nevela, meaning that the Torah is matir nevela bahana. So doesn't that tell me that everything else is also bahana, i.e. the drasha Rabbi Abahu? So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Dvarm k'chzavam. Meaning that the Torah is giving very clear instructions by the nevela what to do. First you look for a ger. If that's not available, then you go to a guy and you sell to the guy. But that's not an isser, that's not a heter hana'a. That is very clear instructions of what to do with the nevela. So the Gemara says, because he subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda. So Isa v'laka Rabbi Yehuda typically me'echad anafkalei l'Rabbi Yehuda melekelev tashlechun oso. So the Gemara says, okay, so then go to step number two. If you're not going to learn it out from nevela, so learn it out from treifa. That's what Rabbi Abahu did, meaning the Gemara at the beginning of the whole sugya says that according to Rabbi Abahu, either you learn it out from nevela, or if I subscribe to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so then we'll move on to treifa. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachmani cannot move on to treifa. Why? Because kasav v'chulin shenishchutu b'azara d'oraisa. Because the iser of shchulin shenishchutu b'azara is a din d'oraisa, which means that the pasuk of lakelav tishlechun oso is needed for shchulin shenishchutu b'azara. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachmani, we don't have a source. Where's the source that chametz is asur b'hana? So the Gemara says strikes 1, 2, and 3. He doesn't learn it out like from lo ye'achel like Chizkiah. He doesn't learn it out from nevela because he subscribes to Rashitas Rabbi Yehuda, and he can't learn it out from treifa because the pasuk lakelav tishlechun oso is coming to teach me about the halacha of chulin shenishchutu b'azara. So now, normally when there are three strikes, so that's it. You go sit down. You're done. But that's Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani is going to conclude that chametz is asur b'hana. So if he's going to conclude that way, where does he get that from? Good, that's the Gemara's question. So me nayin. So from where does he know that? Dichsiv. So what the Gemara now is going to be doing, and this will take us through a good portion of today's daf, is it's going to be one long sentence in which the Gemara is going to answer the question, is there another possible source in the Torah that will arrive us at the conclusion that chametz is aser behana? Now remember, there is a possible conclusion that we saw in yesterday's daf, in that there is a Tana who says that chametz is mutar behana. But as we already pointed out in yesterday's daf, that shitas Rav Yossi Haglili, and that is a shitas yachid. That is one Tana's position, and that's not the consensus viewpoint. By the Amorayim, it's clear that chametz is aser behana. That's the accepted position. So the Gemara's discussion over here, this is now lifting up the hood and looking underneath the hood. Where is it being generated from? What is the source for that? So for Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, the answer is going to be, we need another source for Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So continuing now in the Gemara, Minayin. So we are in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom, and we're going to run through the Gemara. I'm going to go a little bit quicker in respect to the time that we have. And truth of the matter is that a lot of drushes coming up in a lot of different sources. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Kochatas asher yuva midama. So here we are starting now with an iser in the Torah where, if I have a chatas chitzon, there are two types of carbon chatas, one that's offered a standard chatas, which is where the blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, and then you have the chatas apnimi, where the blood is sprinkled in the actual Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, on the mizbeach apnimi. Anyway, over here in this pasuk, we're describing now the chatas hachitzona. So says Rashi over here, it's clear, because the Torah over here is introducing us to the idea that if I take the blood of a chatas hachitzona and I bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, so that's a disqualifier. That is going to passel the carbon chatas. And the Torah says, kol chatas asher yuva midama, etc., etc. So the Torah says that as far as the chatas is concerned, lo yochal, and as far as the chatas is concerned, so tisaref, it has to be burnt. Meaning it now becomes disqualified, and like any carbon which becomes disqualified, it needs to be burnt. The fact that the Torah says it has to be burnt, so that is extraneous. Because once the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat it, so what else are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be burning it. So im eino inyan legufo dichsiv v'hinei suraf. So we already know that you have to burn it. And how do I know I have to burn it? So the truth of the matter is that we already have another pasuk that teaches us that you have to burn it in Parsha Shmini. The Torah, at the inauguration of the Mishkan, so there was a carbon chatas, where the Torah says there was a debate between Aaron and Moshe, right? It was the, right, I'm doing this all too quickly, but it was the first day of Hakamas HaMishkan, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the two sons of Aaron died, Nadav and Avihu. There was a carbon chatas. The carbon chatas was not consumed, and a debate ensued between Moshe and Aaron in terms of why the carbon chatas was not consumed. And as part of the discussion, the hinei soraf, and it was burnt, meaning it was disqualified, and therefore they burnt it. They didn't eat it. So and Moshe asked the question to Aaron, why didn't you eat it? And it had to do with aninus. And okay, it gets complex, but the purpose of us citing this pasuk right now is just to tell us that when I have a carbon chatzas that's disqualified, so I know I already know that we have to burn it. So going back a parsha, so why does the Torah say that you have to burn it? So it's extraneous. So once it's extraneous, so now we're going to be using a method called im eino. Let's go back one line. Im eino inyan legufa dichsiv v'hinei soraf taneo inyan l'chol yisurim shebetorah. So therefore, the sreifa is going for all the other yisurim in the Torah. Im eino inyan l'achila. Now, as far as the yisur achila is concerned, that already is covered by all the yisuri achila. Right, that's part of the definition of being an isur achila. You're not allowed to eat it, so we know you're not allowed to eat it. So taneo inyan l'isur hana'a. So it comes to teach me now that it is going to be aser bihana'a. So this is going to be a method, a way to darshan psukim of im eino, that when I have a superfluous pasuk, so what I'm going to do is now I'm going to lift the pasuk from its context, and I'm going to take it to a different area in halacha, a related context. Really interesting. Rashi over here on the top of the amud. Rashi writes, second line of the Rashi, zumida b'torah. So this is one of the midas of the Torah. Now, as a question which I don't have an answer to, but I'll raise the question. So there are Yudgim Amidah Shatar Nidrash Hashem. There are 13 different ways in which, two different methods in which we darshan the Torah. Right? The tools in the toolbox, if you like the analogy. Right? There are 13 tools that we use. So the most common tools that are used in terms of how to darshan the Torah, kavachom, rigzereshava. Okay, those are in terms of popularity, in terms of usage, those are the top. But then, after that, there's a number of others, 11 to be specific, that are also commonly used in terms of how to darshan the Torah. Where's im eino inyan? Where's that as one of the midos, of the 13 midos? It's not there. Okay, why isn't it there? Good, so I raise the question. I don't have wonderful answers to that question. But anyway, Rashi of Iyer writes, zu mida b'Torah, davar shalahutzrach l'gufo tanei inyan l'inyan acher. So if something is stated in the Torah which is superfluous and I don't need it to tell me a halacha regarding its context, so I take it to a different context, a related context. V'tamo davar l'davar, and we're going to be learning from one to another. L'davar acher. V'chol amidos halach l'moshe misinai. Now Rashi writes over here, in other words, where is this coming from? So it's halach l'moshe misinai, it's part of the halach l'moshe misinai. Okay, why isn't it one of the 13 midos Shabbat Torah? Okay, good. I raised a question, and I don't have wonderful answers. But anyway, so, but Rashi obviously is bringing down the Yesod. This is a midah. So the Gemara says, fine. So ima kam b'sreifa, back in the Gemara second line down, ima kam b'sreifa af kol yisur and Shabbat Torah b'sreifa. So the Gemara now wants to know, good, we're learning it now from this pasuk, that there's an isur achila and an isur hana by shar isurim, by other isurim. So, and right now we're speaking really specifically about chametz, so that's true. So then, there should be a din of sreifa. Now, oddly enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, there is a din of sreifa. But the Gemara is bothered over here because by all Isuri Achila, that's also Asur Ba'ana, there should be a din of sreifa as well. And we know that there isn't a din of sreifa. So, Amar Kar B'Kodesh B'Eishti Sareif, B'Kodesh B'Eishti Sareif, B'Kodesh B'Sreifa, Ve'in Kol Isurim Shebetorah B'Sreifa. No, the din sreifa is only specific to those things that are Karban, that are Kodesh. Those that are disqualified require sreifa. Everything else, even though it's Asur Ba'Achila, and even though it's Asur Ba'Ana, but everything else does not require sreifa. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. So we just darshened it from a pasuk of Kol Chatos Asher Yivam Midama. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, that drush has already been taken and needed for a different drush than that of Rabbi Shimon. Ditanya, the Gemara here quotes the Brisa of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bakosh Beishi Sareif Limit Achatos Shesorf and Oso Bakodesh. So the halach of Rabbi Shimon is as follows. When you have a carbon chatas that gets disqualified, so it does need to be burnt. And where does it need to be burnt? Ba Kodesh. It needs to be burned in the Azara. Meaning, despite the fact that it's disqualified, one might have argued, okay, so a disqualified carbon, so burn it wherever. No, the halacha is that it has to be burned in the Azara. Ein le'ala zubavad. So now, good. So now we have a drasha that tells me about a carbon chatas that gets disqualified, it has to be burned in the Azara. Psule, kadshe kadashim, imure. Kachim Kalim, Minayan. So how do I know that if I have other karbanas that are disqualified, they also have to be burned in the Azara? So any Kachikachim is disqualified, and even the Imurim, those are the parts of a Shlamim that are going to be going up onto the Mizbeach, but for whatever reason, the Shlamim gets disqualified, the Imurim have to be burnt in the Azara. Rashi over here points out, it has to be talking about the Imurim, it can't be talking about the meat of a Shlamim. Why? Because the meat of the Shlamim can be consumed anywhere in Yerushalayim. So Rashi points out over here that we're not going to say that the meat can be consumed in Yerushalayim, but the disqualified shlamim, the meat of the disqualified shlamim has to be burnt only in the Azara. So in other words, the drasha over here is limited to only those things that have to be confined within the walls of the Azara. So that's why the Gemara says, Kachim Kachim and the Imurim of Kachim Kalim. Anyway, how do I know that they have to be burned in the Azara? Minayan? So Tamar Lamar, Bakodesh Ba'ish Tisareit. It has to be burnt Bakodesh. Bakodesh is now coming to teach me halacha of where does disqualified karbanos need to be burnt, specifically in the Azara. Good. So now the pasuk is already spoken for. So once the pasuk is already spoken for, we have a halacha, so we can't learn out the halachas of Isuri Hana. Okay, back to square one. According to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, again, this is one long answer. According to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, where's the source that tells me that that chametz is asur b'ana? So Amarle Rav Yonasan Rav Chame Hai Krai Kamarle. So he says to him, you know, you're Rebbe Rav Yonasan, meaning this is still now in conversation, in dialogue with Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So he says, your Rebbe Yonasan gets it from the following. So the pasuk says, V'im yivaser mipsar hamiluim umin alechem ad haboker, if you have any left over from the inaugural karbanos of the Mishkan. So it wasn't eaten, meaning those karbanos that need to be consumed, then were not consumed, and then anything's left over. Shein tamar lomar lo yachal, uma tamar lomar lo yachal imenu inyan legufe, the vidaksi vasarafta sanosar ba'ish. So as far as the iser in the Torah not to eat nosar, it's already been established. We already have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to eat nosar. So now the Torah's introduction over here to don't eat it is superfluous. So now, Taneo Inyan, Lishar Isur and Shabbat Torah. So good. So this Isur Achila now is going to be moved over. Again, it's still the method of Imeino Inyan. We're going to move it over to Shar Isurim. So Imeino Inyan, Achila, Taneo Inyan, Isur Ana. Now, for the other Isur Achila of the Torah, so the Torah already says it's Asur Achila. So now, what are we going to say? So in addition to it being Asur Achila, it's also Asur Ana as well. Ima Kamis Reifa Avkol Isur and Shabbat Torah Reifa. Again, same question. You know what we're supposed to do with Nosar. You have to burn Nosar. So is that true now by Shari Yisurim that are also by another, they have to burn it? So I'm a Kravis, they're after Sanosar, Nosar Besreifa Vein Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah Besreifa. Good. So we have a drasha that says that no. Meaning even though we are using the Pasuk to teach Yisur Ana by Shari Yisurim, but as far as the eradication, that it has to be done with Sreifa, that's only for Nosar, that's not for Shari Yisurim, we have a drasha. So the Gemara says, don't I need it for another drasha? Meaning that pasuk is already spoken for. The drasha of Rabbi Elazar tells me that this pasuk that we thought that we were going to use for the drasha of Isur Hana, we actually need it for disqualify Nosar. And it's coming to teach me that kol shebekadosh pasul, anytime you have a carbon that's disqualified, and disqualification over here could be in many different ways. Rashi over here writes, pigol, yotze, nishbach damo, either the Kohen had a machshava of chutz mano or chutz l'mkoma when he shechted the carbon, or yotze, or the carbon was taken out of the azara. Carbon is not allowed to be taken out of the azara, taken out of the azara. Nishbach damo, after the carbon was shechted and collected in a bowl, or, no, let's say better. Right, now I'm going back and remembering our Zvachim days. Right, if it was collected in the bowl and fell on the floor, so then you can just pick it up. If, let's say, directly from the animal goes directly to the floor, that's nishbach damo, that's the psul of shvichas dam, as it relates to a carbon, and no good, that's also disqualification. Point is, any of these disqualifications, so we know that you're not allowed to eat the carbon, but a formal lav, the fact that if you were to do so, you'd be violating a formal lav, how do I know that? Rav Elazar says, this pasuk, this drasha. So now that I need this pasuk to teach me about a formal lav for any of the psule karbanos, so now I no longer have this pasuk for the drasha of the Isur Hana. Amar Abai La'olam Mikra Kama. So Abai says, okay, so don't use the psukim in Parshas Tetzava that we just used, but rather go back to Vayikra, go back to the sixth parak of Vayikra. Now Ve'epach Delechto Ve'esh Yisrael Lo Abai Lo Sochal. And all we're going to do now is we're going to go back to those psukim, and we're going to kochatas asher yuvami dama, and instead of focusing on the extra words ba'esh tisareif, focus on the extra words of lo sochal. So, we'll darshan as follows. So, lichva ba'esh tisareif v'lo by lo sochal. Ma tom alam lo sochal. So ba'esh tisareif tells me I have to burn it, so once I know I have to burn it, obviously I can't eat it. So when the Torah says lo sochal, so what is that coming to tell me by the disqualified carbon chatas? So now, lo socha is coming to teach me that I'm not allowed to eat it, meaning giving me a formal lav. Oh, formal lav? So that we can learn that from Rebbe Lazar, meaning the drush of Rebbe Lazar we just learned together. That gives me the formal lav. So now, I don't need a formal lav to be introduced, to be rolled out by a chatas that becomes disqualified. So now, teneu inyan l'chol isurim shebetorah. So now I can take the lo socha that's mentioned by the chatas that was disqualified, and now I can take it out of context because I don't need it in context, and now I can have it teach me about Isur Hana. V'imeno inyan la'achila teneo inyan le'isur Hana. So ima kan b'sreifa av kol Isur and Shabbat Torah b'sreifa. Again, the Gemara goes over. So just like by the chatas that becomes disqualified, it has to be burnt. The other Isurim of the Torah, which are now Asur b'achila and Asur b'ana, they should also be burnt. Amakra, no sar, hanozer b'sreifa, v'ein kol Isur and Shabbat Torah b'sreifa. Okay, good. So we have a limitation that tells us that no sar and only no sar needs to be burnt. Other Isuri Achila do not need to be burnt. So Amar le Rapapa Labai Ve'ema Liyachude Le Lav Leguvei Hu Da'asa. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe the Pasuk of Lo Socha mentioned in the disqualified Chatas, maybe that's still necessary. Because what did you want to say? Rav Elazar was the one who teaches us about the formal lav. The Gemara says that's not true. The imid the Rav Elazar ain't looking on lav shebechlalos. Because Rav Elazar was teaching me that any disqualified carbon is going to be subject to a lav. That's what's called a lav shebechlalos. When I have one lav that covers many different violations, so that's a generic lav, a general lav, and you don't get malchus for a general lav. Meaning the general lav tells us that we're not allowed to do it. But as far as the onus is concerned, as far as the punishment is concerned, so you're not going to get malchus unless you have one pasuk that speaks about this particular lav. So maybe as it relates to the chatas that becomes disqualified, where the blood was brought into the base of mikdash, so when we're talking about a chatas chitzona, so maybe the losochel over there is to give me a specific law for that particular iser, so then we know that the punishment over there is malchus. So the Gemara says, Elam Rapapa Mehacha. Okay, so I understand we are still in a really long answer to one question. How does Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini know that chametz is aser ba'anah? So Elam Rapapa Mehacha, so comes from the following, Va'abasar Asher Yiga B'chol Tameh, Lo Yochol Be'ish Yisareif. Back to Vayikra, seventh perek of Vayikra. That any meat of a carbon that becomes Tameh has to be burnt. Shein Tameh Lomer Lo Yochol. Now the Torah there says that basar kodesh that becomes tummy, you're not allowed to eat. Now, did the Torah need to tell us over there that you're not allowed to eat that? We know that. We know that because the Torah then goes on to say, you have to burn it. Obviously, you can't eat it if you have to burn it. So, matam alamar lo yochol imeno inyan legufo da hanafkalei mikava chomer, mimaisar akal. And on top of that, by the way, the Gemara says, and how do I know that I'm not allowed to eat basar kodesh that becomes tummy? So the Gemara says, we learned it through a kava chomer from maisar sheni. Uma maisar akal amar Torah lo biyarti mimeno batamei. So we know in Parshas Kisavo that one is not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni that becomes Tameh. Lo bi'artu mimenu b'tameh. That is a clear declaration said by the person making his vidui Maiser at the end of the third year and the end of the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, where he says that I did not eat Maiser Sheni that becomes Tameh. So it's clear that Maiser Sheni cannot be eaten in a state of Tumah. Now if Maiser Sheni cannot be eaten in a state of Tumah, so carbon, which is a higher level of Kedusha, for sure cannot be eaten in a state of Tumah. So Basar Kodesh Chamer Lo Kol Shekein V'chitim in Mazir Min Adin. So the Gemara says, fine. So, and what do you want to tell me? That a Kal V'chamer is a valid way to darshan the Torah. It's one of the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atar Nidrash Shasbam, as we discussed earlier this morning. But the Gemara says, but still, you can't punish based on a Kal V'chamer. And not only that, it actually goes even one step further. There's an opinion which the Gemara just cited over here. Ein Mazirin Min Adin. Even to come up with a formal lav cannot be done through a Kal V'chamer. So then one has to wonder what can be done with the Kal V'chomer, but for our purposes right now, let's just stay with the Gemara. So Akesha, the Gemara says, but even if the Kal V'chomer is not going to provide any teeth to the Isser, but we do have a Hekesh, and when it comes to a Hekesh, so that's it. In other words, when two ideas are mentioned in the same Pasuk, so then there's nothing to discuss. So over here, the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh tells us that when I have any of these items that become tummy, you're not allowed to eat it. So Maiser, Degancha, Maiser over here is a reference to Maiser Sheni. Degancha, Tirosh, Chavitzarecha, U Bekoros Bekarcha. And Bechor obviously is a carbon. So you see, Maiser Sheni and carbon are mentioned in the same Pasuk. So once they are now connected through a Hekesh, so just like the Maiser Sheni is forbidden to be eaten, so too is the Kodesh that becomes Tamei forbidden to be eaten. So now when the Torah says, Lo socha by basar tameh of kodesh. So matam alom lo yochol imeno inyan legufo. Teneu inyan lechol yisurin shabbatorah. Vimeno inyan leachila. Teneu inyan lehana'a. So here now we have the extra pasuk that allows us now to take the pasuk from there and transplant it over to isuri achila. Isuri achila by definition are already asur b'achila, and therefore it's just going to be asur b'ana as well. So ima kan b'sreifa af kol isur shabbatorah b'sreifa. When meat becomes tummy, when basar kodesh becomes tummy, you have to burn it. Is that going to be true by all other isuri hana? So I'm a kra, no sir. Hanos b'sreifa vein kol isur shabbatorah b'sreifa. Again, we have a miyut, a limitation that only the nosar and only the tummy becomes requires sreifa, but not all the nashar isurim. So Amalei Ravin L'Rav Avashi Ve'em Alav Or Alav Bishnei Lavim. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about that the pasuk that we just quoted, that we used to generate the Isser Hanav for Shari Surim? How about the fact that maybe we need it just to give me an additional lav? An additional lav, Lami Amar Abayav, Achol Putisa Loka Arba Nemela Loka Chamesh Sira Lokeshesh, the Gemara over here, quoting the Gemara in Makos, that if you eat various shrotzim, there are differences whether it's a sheretz that's in the water versus in the air, but if you eat various shrotzim, so you're going to be subject to minimum 4 sets of malkios, 4 lav in the Torah, 4 sets of malkios. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim in terms of whether or not the repeated lav is going to have a separate malkos for each and every one of them. But the idea over here is that if I have a pasuk repeating a lav, so we count it as an additional lav. So you eat the putisa 4 lavim, you eat a namala 5 lavim. If you eat a tzira 6 lavim, Rashi over here goes through the Gemara and Makos in more detail in terms of what exactly the 4, 5, and 6 lavim are. For our purposes right now, suffice to say that there are multiple lavim for Yisurim in the Torah. So over here, why don't we just say that? Why don't we say that the pasuk when it comes to basa that becomes tameh is there to teach me about multiple lavim? As we now are on the top of the Amud Beis, Chavdal Amud Beis, Kol Hecha Di Ika Lamidrash Tarshinan V'lo Mekmina La B'lav Yisera. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a basic rule, and that is that if you want to tell me that there are multiple lavim, I agree with you that there is a concept of multiple lavim. We just saw it as it related to the consumption of various bugs. But if there is an opportunity to darshan in a different and use it to teach me a different halacha, so then better to darshan it in a different method. Meaning that only if we have nothing else to do with the pasuk, so then we'll just simply tack it on as a second, third, fourth, fifth, and possibly even sixth lav. But if you have another way to darshan it, like we do over here, so you darshan it in a different manner. Gemara continues. As long as we were in that pasuk in the seventh parak of Vayikra about basar tamei va'basar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo yochal darshinan lamali. The pasuk, if you look over there in the context, seems to be a totally extraneous point. What is that second pasuk coming to teach me? The Gemara over here is just saying this as an ancillary. So the Gemara says l'rabos etim lavona. It's coming to teach me that even non-edible foods in the Beis HaMikdash used as part of the Avoda, the wood that's used as a fuel for the fire for the Mizbeach, Lavona, it's a spice that's called frankincense, whatever that is, it doesn't matter. So the Lavona that's used also in conjunction with Karbanos, it's put on top of a mincha, a standard mincha. Lavona is used also in conjunction with the lechem upon him. So even though these are non-edibles, but since they're used as part of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so they are going to be given the status of food in that they are going to be able to be mekabel tumah. This is the idea of Chibas HaKodesh, which we actually discussed about a week ago in the daf. Good, so we have a drasha that teaches us this halacha. V'habasar kol tar yochal basar d'seif alam ali. Again, another just quick ancillary point, and that is, what is the purpose of the end of the pasuk where it says that a basar kol tar yochal basar, that when you're tar, you're going to eat the meat? What's that coming to teach me? So alam ali l'rabos imurim. So it's coming to teach me the halacha regarding imurim. Imurim asam nafka d'tanya. What do you mean? As far as the imurim are concerned, so we learn it from the following: v'nefesh asher tocha basar mizevach shlamim asher l'Hashem l'rabos es ha'imurim. It's coming to tell me the halacha regarding imurim. Now, imurim, obviously, by its definition, those are the innards of the animal, of the carbon that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach. However, the Torah is coming to teach me that we have a special drasha, that if you eat them in a state of tumah, you will be subject to an isser in the Torah. So the Gemara says, why do I need it? I have another pasuk that tells me this halacha. So hasam tumas aguf, bekareis hacha tumas basar belav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I need two pasukim, because there's tumah in one of two different ways. There's tumas aguf, meaning if you're tameh and you eat carbon, that's one isser in the Torah. And if the carbon's tameh in your Torah, that's an additional isser in the Torah. And in terms of degree of punishment, they're different. A person who eats carbon while he is in a state of tumah, so that's a chiyuv kares. If a person were to eat carbon that's in a state of tumah, but the person himself is in a state of tahara, so that's a lav, right? Which is less, obviously, less than a kares, less than the isser kares. Okay. Anyway, when all said and done, so that was an extraordinarily long sentence of the Gemara, in which, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, it's one topic so far in today's daf. According to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, who is of the conclusion that chametz bePesach is aser b'hana'a, how do I know that chametz bePesach is aser b'hana'a? According to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, he does not agree with neither the opinion of Chizkiyah nor the opinion of Rabbi Abahu. Right, that takes us all the way back to Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where they learn it from the pasuk by chametz for Chizkiyah lo ye'achel. For Rabbi Abahu, even if the Torah didn't say lo ye'achel, even if the Torah just simply said lo socha, so they both learn out that chametz bePesach is aser b'hana'a. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni does not agree with that line of thinking, meaning he's an Amora. He simply disagrees with that line of thinking. When the Torah says, lo yochal, lo ye'achel, doesn't matter how it says it. If the Torah says there's an Isra Achila, that's only an Isra Achila. And he darshans the halachas of Nevela like Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Kich Savam, so that's out of the discussion. As far as the psukim of Trefa, like Kelef Tishlechun Oso, for that he darshans it. He darshans it for chulin shenishchutu ba'azara. So now that he does not have an available drasha to tell me that chametz b'pesach chazos b'ana, how do I know what's the source of that halacha? Meaning we know what the conclusion is, what's the source? So most of psachim, daf chav dalid, is there to answer that one question. What is the source for Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni? And we just concluded a really long sentence of the Gemara, where the Gemara's conclusion is, it is generated from an additional pasuk. As it relates to Basar Tameh, where the Torah says, by Basar Tameh, v'abasar sheyiga b'chol Tameh, lo yochal be'esh yisareif. And now through a number of steps, we know that the word lo sochal over there is extraneous. So we're going to lift it from that pasuk, and im eino inyan legufo, if we're not going to be using it for that context, taneo le'inyan achir, it's going to teach me a different halacha, notably the Isser Hana'a. That's the short version of the Gemara's answer. We are continuing in the Gemara Mor Chav Dalam and Beis, and now we are on to a new topic, Amar Rebbe Abau Amar Rebbe Yochanan. The Gemara now, we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, Kol Isser and Shabbatar in Lokin Aleihem Ela Derech Achila San. That when it comes to all the Isurim and the Torah, Isuri Achila, so you're only going to get Malkus when you eat them in the way that it's normally eaten, Lamute Mai. So give me an example of what is that coming to exclude, what's unusual eating. So Amrav Shemi Bar Ashlam Uti Shimachal Chalev Chai Shepater. Let's say you eat the Chalev of an animal. The Chalev of a behemoth is Aser. It's Aser Ba'achila. It's also subject to the Kari's penalty, as we already discussed. But let's say the Chalev was eaten in a raw state. And that's unusual. You don't eat chalev in a raw state. I mean, for those who are going to eat it, you cook it first. So you eat in a raw state, that's unusual. And so therefore, it's going to be pater. Now, this is what? This is just a standard form of shinui, like by Shabbos, that if you do a malach b'derech ha-shinui, so it's not Isser Torah, it's same thing over here. Could be. Okay, in terms of the lamdus, obviously that's for a lamdus shir. But for the daf, so we're just simply establishing that if you eat it shalom b'derech achila in an unusual fashion, so it's pater. Now, pater, of course, does not mean that it's okay, does not mean that it's acceptable, it just simply means that you're not subject to the Malkus penalty. So, Igad Amri, now, in another version of this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, kol yisurim shebetorah, ein lokin aleim, ela derech hana'asan. So, the only way you're going to get Malkus is if you benefit in the way that you normally benefit. Meaning that, obviously, now we're talking about those foods that are asr ba'achila uvehana'a, which when all said and done, it comes out to chametz, it comes out to shoran iskal, and arla. And so if I benefit from it in an unusual fashion, so in these circumstances, one is going to not be subject to the malchus penalty. So lemute mai, give me an example of what is considered unusual benefit. So amr of shimi barash lemute shimini achelav shoshor aniskal agabe makasoshu upater v'choshekin ochel chelav chayshu upater. So let's say you take the chelav shor aniskal. Now we have to use that example because we're looking for those things that are aser bana. So you take the fat of shor aniskal. And let's say you put it on a wound. You put it on a wound which is unusual, meaning obviously we don't know well the practices of therapy in the 4th and 5th century, but, right, we'll just obviously take the Gemara at its word, that this is an unusual usage of the chelev of shor aniskal, and since it's unusual, so therefore pater, therefore one is not formally violating the law. And if you eat raw chelev, then kol shekin. In other words, in the second version, right, the chiddush over here is unusual benefit, right? Unusual consumption is a given, obviously. For unusual consumption, like eating raw chalev, so you're going to be pater. But on top of that, even unusual benefit is going to be pater. It marnami amar of acha bar avya, amar of asi, amar of yochanan. Hine chalev shashor aniskal agabe makaso pater lefisha kol yisur and shabbatara, ein lokin aleim, ela derech hana'asan. And the Gemara over here just simply ratifies that we also have this as a tradition from Rav Acha, who ends up quoting it from the same source from Rabbi Yochanan, that shalom kederech hanasan, if you are benefiting from an unusual way, so it's going to be pater. Amar zerafa nami tanina. So he says, good. So you're quoting Rabbi Yochanan. I already see this in a Mishnah in Trumos. 11th parak ein sofken es arbay mishum arla ela al hayotzim min azesim umin ha'anavim bavad. When are you going to be subject to malchus for getting benefit from arla? Arla, one of the isurim, one of the isuri achila that is asur ba'ana. So it's an asur ba'ana. If one were to benefit from arla, one is going to be subject to malchus. But the Mishnah tells us that the only time that that's going to be the case is only when you're going to be taking out the juice of a grape and the juice of an olive, otherwise known as olive oil or wine. Now, if that means to say that if you squeeze any other fruit, which is an arla fruit, right? Not sure what the tusim, probably strawberries, maybe tainim figs, rimonim pomegranates. Anyway, any other fruit. You squeeze the juice of any other fruit. So what would be the halacha? So the halacha would be that you're not going to be subject to malchus. Again, not an endorsement, not condoning it, just simply not subject to malchus. But my taima, lav mishum delo ka'achalei derech hanasan. So the Gemara says, presumably the reason why is, meaning the Mishnah in Shumash just simply says that you're not going to get malchus. What the Gemara now is offering is an explanation. And that is that shelo k'derech hanasan because it's unusual. So amalei abaye bishlami yashmina pregufa delo ka'achalei derech hanasan shapir. So the Gemara says, fine, if you're coming to tell me that by other fruits, that if you're eating in an unusual way, that'd be fine. But that's not what the Mishnah is saying over here. The Mishnah is just simply talking about the expressed liquid that comes out of these fruit. And the Gemara says that the reason why is because when you're expressing the juice of the grape and you're expressing the juice of the olive, so those juices have a status, otherwise known as wine and oil. So they have significant statuses. Stati. But they have significant statuses. But when it comes to the juice that's expressed from any other fruit, so it does not have its own, it does not have the status of the fruit. The Gemara describes it over here, Zeya Ba'alma. That hopefully should ring a bell. The Gemara in Brachos, in the sixth parak, talking about the brachos that you make on the juice that you are squeezing out of any other fruit, meaning with exception to oil and wine. The Gemara in Brachos, if you recall, has an extensive discussion about the drinking of olive oil. But the fruit that comes out of grapes, meaning wine, and the fruit that and the juice that comes out of olives, meaning olive oil. So for that, the bracha is going to be bar priates. I know for wine it's actually bar priagafen, but the idea is that those juices have significance. But if I take the juice out of any other fruit, so it's zeh ba'alma, you make a shahakal. It no longer has the status of the fruit. So what the Gemara just simply deflects over here is that Mishnah in Trumos is not in of itself going to be authoritative in terms of teaching us this halacha of Rav Yochanan of shelo k'derech hana'asan. That if I do something in an unusual fashion, that Mishnah may have nothing to do with shelo k'derech hana'asan. That just simply may be a function of the juices of other fruits don't have the status of of the fruit itself. Not like grapes and not like olives. Ad kan, we stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with a baye. Let's quickly recap. Today's daf is actually very easy to recap. And that is that we dealt with essentially one really long topic today. One question, one answer. For Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, well, we did finish up yesterday's daf in terms of what would be the practical difference between Chizki and Rabbi Abba and what comes out to be the difference is Chulin Shchenishchetu Ba'azara. That is a very quick summary, which unless you're holding by everything, I'm not sure how much that helps. But as far as our daf today, for Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who does not learn out the Lo Ye Achel, neither like Chizkiah nor like Rabbi Abba. And as far as Nevela is concerned, learns like Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Kichzavam. And as far as Treifa is concerned, that's reserved for the halach of Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara. Where is his source that teaches us that Chametz BePesach is Asar Ba'ana? That's the question. The answer, most of Daf Chavdala. Answering the question of where it becomes the source of it. And it comes from really left field. Meaning we have a pasuk that talks about a baster kodesh that becomes tamei. We have words over there that are extraneous, lo yochal. We're going to take him, lift him, and use him now to teach me a halacha of isurei hana'a, im eino inyan. Right? We went over a really fundamental Rashi in the beginning of today's daf, in Chav Dalam and Aleph, where Rashi says, im eino inyan is one of the midosh betorah. Good, a question I asked, I don't have an answer for. Why isn't it listed in the Yigimu midosh betorah nidreshes by him? Okay? And that was most of today's daf. Then, second half of today's daf is Shalok Derech HaChilan, Shalok Derech HaNasan. Rav Yochanan made a statement. We have two versions of the statement that if I eat something that is aser ba'achila, but I eat it shlo kederech achila, like eating raw chalev, or the second version, if I benefit from something which is aser bana and I do so in an unusual fashion, so you're not going to be subject to the malchus penalty. Good. And the Gemara thought that maybe we could see this in a Mishnah and Trumos, but the Gemara says not necessarily. Adkan.